opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, a Gal Media station.
All right, we're back after a brief break with a very special guest host. Let's do this. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. No A.J. today. He's off the next 2 days. Little League World Series or Little Kid World Series or whatever it is. We do have Jong Lee, the master. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at Jong Snow with a zero, not an O. Today it's at Jerome Solomon, as it will be tomorrow, hopefully, as well. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you wish to actually see us in person, well, you probably want to see Jerome, because everybody wants to see Jerome. Huh. He's a big TV star. Just go to ESPN975.com and click on Watch Us on Live Stream. And you can do exactly that. And see, Jerome's an attractive older man, so you might want to actually watch today.
Well, in this room? You know, I mean, yeah.
Well, hey, listen, I make no bones about anything here. You know, I'm completely honest. So.
No, and I'm sure you've come across this. No, maybe you haven't, because you've never been all, you know. This is not starting off the way I wanted to begin this.
Go right ahead. Say it.
I've noticed I've been in rooms with, shall we say, lovely young women, you know, and I'm just there, you know. Back in the day, you used to at least think they would glance your way or, you know. Check you out occasionally, or you go, hey, I think she's feeling me. That really doesn't happen anymore, you know?
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm the one doing all the leering, it seems.
Well, yeah, about the best I can do now is that whenever I go to the gym, there's a group of elderly Asian ladies who like me. that's as far as I can go.
I'm not even sure I would catch their attention either. Not at the gym. I mean, you have to wear, like, you know, those tights and stuff that y'all wear to the gym?
I don't wear tights.
Oh, yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
Go ahead and admit it.
No.
You know, you probably wear nice little leggings.
No.
Is that what
no.
they call?
Although,
stretch pants?
Since the days of you going to the gym, the wardrobe for women has really improved. I'll just throw that out there.
Well, they walk around wearing them in the stores.
I know.
Now, just regular, ordinary. And I'm like, hey, you shouldn't be walking up and down the HEB aisles like that, right?
I
don't have a problem with it. It just feels out of place, you know. But I don't know if you paid any attention, but in HEB or Randall's now in those stores, the what we used to call elevator music, plays. It's playing like the music that we thought was really cool back in the day, kind of music.
Oh no!
And I'm like, wait a minute, how is this music cool enough to be playing on, you know, for everyone to take in? It's like, has the world changed that much?
Apparently it has.
I mean, no, they're playing, like, you know, Cameo, for instance, is playing on the HEB. It's on the HEB soundtrack. And I'm like, if you're playing Cameo, and, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, some strip club off of Jensen or something back in the, you know, mid-90s, and they're jamming that kind of stuff in HEB now. The world has changed.
It's funny because I was listening to an oldie station and they were playing Guns N' Roses, and I'm like, okay, now I know I'm old. I'm officially an old. There's no question. Hey, we're going to have a fun show today. We have the Whiskey Brothers are going to be in studio. Slade Ham's going to join us. Very funny dudes, good friends, and they're going to come in at 4:15. So we'll have some comedy for you. And
some whiskey, but you all would just listen to the whiskey.
I don't think they actually brought any whiskey. That's just the name of the podcast, which they do whiskey shots while they're doing the podcast. Have you ever heard their podcast? It's really good.
I have a whole lot less interest in it now than I did 10 seconds ago.
I should have waited and told you when they were here.
I thought this was a whiskey thing. Well, I agreed to come on whiskey day. I know y'all have whiskey day.
You know what I'm going to do tomorrow?
I've been here before where y'all have whiskey day.
You know what I'm going to do tomorrow? Just for you. Mm-hmm. I'll bring some whiskey.
Okay. That's good. And I was expecting you to do that tomorrow. And today. You say you're going to do it tomorrow as if that's that's something special. I usually come in here and things happen. Y'all either have dildos or whiskey. I guess I'm just here on the wrong Thursday.
Yeah, I guess so. Unless somebody wants to bring us some whiskey.
Guess we got to talk sports or something. Yeah.
So, hey, Jong, is the live stream actually working? Because as usual, it's not working on my computer for some reason.
It should be. Let me check.
It looks good on the screen that we can see there.
Yeah, it's up.
But I want the people to be able to see it. So hopefully the people are able to see it. 713-780-ESPN. So Slade Ham, Sam Damaris, Rob Mungle, they're all here. And
Rob Mungle, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
He's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. All three of them are. Uh-huh. You'll like them. You'll have fun with this. Trust me.
Even without the whiskey.
Yeah, it's working on my computer.
Okay. This is just me again. I don't know why. It's like I try it on Safari, I try it on Chrome, and I just get the spinning wheel of death. That's it. So
give out that handle again, where they can watch us.
It's ESPN975.com. Just click on Watch Us on Livestream. That simple.
It's very simple.
Yeah, yeah. And hopefully it works for you. I don't know what it is. I think it's the internet in here. But what'd you do for the 4th other than sit around and get rained on probably?
That's pretty much it. I had writing to do, so I was kind of locked in anyway. And I don't know, man. I've just been tired lately. I'm not sleeping very much, you know? I'm up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, and I'll start writing since I'm up, or I'll watch, you know, bad shows on Netflix or on, you know, that I'm streaming from other sources. And I've just found myself watching a lot of shows that I haven't watched yet. So
yeah.
I probably need some recommendations on, you know, picking it up something. Sometimes you get stuck into something. You're like, it's not even good.
Yeah.
But I'm watching
then
it. Let me go ahead.
Committed and it's like, oh,
exactly.
There's only 3 more episodes. I kind of felt that way about that show Safe. I think I don't know if it's Netflix or Prime.
Mm-hmm.
But I got 5 shows in, and after the 5th show, I'm like, man, this is really good. And then 6, 7, and 8 were
dropped.
Yeah, they're kind of like. It was just too predictable. You almost saw the whole. I saw the whole thing coming, and I'm kind of like. And by the 7th episode, I'm like, okay, I know what's going to happen. I don't need to watch the last one, but you have to.
Right.
You can't when you've watched 7 of them. Even if you know exactly what's going to play out, you still have to watch it. So
Goliath did that to me.
Yeah.
And the first season, I'm like, okay, it's got some stuff here. It's pretty decent. I see where it's going, but it has the potential to be really good. And then it wasn't that good. Then season 2 came, and it's been awful, period. But I'm like, I'm in now. Let me go ahead and it can't be this awful all the way through. And then the next one comes up, and it's just as bad as the last one or worse. It's pretty bad. And they have legitimate actors in it. I mean, you know, people. But you can tell, what's his name? Billy Bob Thornton. He's just mailing it in. He's not even trying hard in this.
Yeah, I watched some of the second season. The wife really liked it, and so I started watching it, and I couldn't get into it. So
the first season was good.
Yeah,
the second one's just it's not good at all.
Yeah, but I've been trying to find a bunch of new stuff, and I actually watched the first of that Yellowstone last night because I was kind of curious about that. There's certain things that I've learned from Longmire. Never go to Wyoming. Because people die there. And from this, I think never go to Montana because people die there. That's kind of what, that's the message that I'm getting from these shows. People die in Wyoming and Montana.
I didn't have any real, there was no draw for me to go to either one of those places anyway. So I can see people dying there.
Well, and
it wouldn't be me. They don't have a lot of brothers dying there.
No, that's true. Basically,
in fact, I should probably go there and increase my likelihood of living longer.
I think you would be safe. Yeah, because unless you're a Native American or a white person, they're not killing you there. That's pretty much all it is.
We're having enough trouble being black everywhere else in America. Did you see the one? I don't know when it popped up, but I just saw it today of this white guy who called the police on a black woman and her child for being at the community pool.
Oh, I didn't see this.
Yeah, it's your standard one where he was like, well, she needs to show me you know, an identification before she can come in. And it's a pool that has a card to get in and everything. And she's with a baby. And he calls the police. The police come out and like, dude, why? I mean, what are we here for? You know? And it's just the standard. You know, she's black and at his pool, at their pool, because she lives in that neighborhood. But it's, you know, us and them so often with people like that. It's crazy.
I won't live to see it, but one of these days we'll live in a world where that crap doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's always happened. That's the thing. It's just now people are videoing.
Well, and that to me is a positive.
Oh, no question.
That people are putting that stuff out there, and you can actually put a face to people being jerks. I think that's a good thing. It's one of the positives of the internet and one of the positives of Twitter, and it's not a lot of them.
Because a lot of people they wouldn't believe you if you told them that.
Right.
You're like, oh, man, I was just there, and they called the police. Like, oh, they wouldn't call the police on you? No, the police wouldn't come if they called and said, there's a woman at the pool who doesn't belong. Yeah, they would. And, you know, give this policeman a little bit of credit. He was, you know, kind and, you know, he's understanding. But he was trying to satisfy the guy as opposed to telling the guy, dude, we're here for, you know, real business. We don't have time to waste with people like you making silly phone calls. And he should have egged him on to get arrested as opposed to even, you know, satisfying his lust for harassing this poor black woman who had done nothing except go to a pool in a neighborhood where she owns a home.
All right. We are going to why can't I hear the, oh, there it is. But say, I vaguely could hear the music. I knew it was there. But
John's trying to mix it up, man. He's in, you know, after he's been getting some, you know. He got married, you remember?
He did. That's right.
You haven't noticed the change in John since, you know, since he became a man? He's a little put away childish things?
A little less focused on his job, I've noticed. But other than that...
I can't blame him. Weren't you at that time?
John actually has a cool wife.
Well, I mean, what's that have to do with it? That's not my point.
I'm just saying. Well,
no, I mean, I'm not talking about... I'm talking specifically about the change in John. I mean, you know, things have changed for him.
I see.
He's moved on to, you know, a new territory. He's a new man.
John, were you guys reined in yesterday, too, or did you get to do something?
We had some friends over, and we just drank and played board games and stuff. We were going to do, like, a pool, but, you know, obviously that didn't work out.
I didn't even get any barbecue yesterday. And I didn't even think about it until I was like, yeah, you know, that's kind of messed up.
It kind of sucked because you couldn't do anything, really, until about 3 o'clock. And then we went to a couple of bars, but it was just by then, it was like, eh, turned into just another day.
Yeah, it was a nice, good, solid flood around town again.
Yeah, there were some places that got hit worse than Harvey, I'm told. But it drains off faster when it's not
seven days in a row. Stop. Yeah.
All right, quick break. We come back. We'll have Slade Hammond studio. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. No A.J. today. He'll be back on Monday. Jerome Solomon, the legend that is Jerome Solomon, filling in quite ably. Joining us now, as promised, one of my favorite guys on the planet. Very funny human being. Slade Ham. Part of the Whiskey Brothers, who will have the other Whiskey Brothers in here in a minute. Slade, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, it's good to be. You promised them. That's you make it sound so serious and official. I promise he's coming. You got me.
Yeah, well, then you weren't outside, so I had to go find you.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I went
John, here. John, were you doing autograph signings out there or something?
You have no idea how busy that lobby gets at 4 in the afternoon.
Oh, it's a little hectic.
Throngs
out there.
Of fans. You guys must have tweeted.
I sneak through the back because, you know, I'm kind of known.
Yeah. Come in like Crocodile Dundee walking across the top of the people.
Well, and, you know, there's women out there. That's probably what he was doing.
It's so many women. I don't know how you guys managed to pull this off every single day.
Have you seen us?
Yeah.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know how you guys pulled that off.
Well, first off, you're gonna be at the Improv tonight, right?
Yeah, I'm stopping out. We're doing a show, Humor for Heroes, first responders in town of any sort, whether you're EMS, fire, police, or military for that matter.
Cool.
Pop on out. Show's at 8 o'clock at the Improv, and it is an incredible lineup. So I'm stoked.
You go hit that Big City Wings before you go over there. It's
I do it every single time. It is I have a human weakness, which is I think all men share, the inability to walk by a wing place.
Yeah, and that one. That one, we did a show out there a couple weeks ago, and we do one about once every 3 months at a Big City Wings, and I swear, every time I go there, I way overeat, man. Those wings are fantastic.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's my new thing now. It's like, I'm going to go to that Big City Wings, and then when somebody's doing a show I want to see at the Improv, I'll go to that, or you got the theater right across from it if you're going to go watch a movie.
That's when I do it all the time now when I hit the movie theater. It's so hard for me to go on stage all lethargic. I'll get like 30 wings in me, and they're like, go talk for an hour. I'm like, can we do this on a bar stool?
Yeah, you might want to cut your wing consumption in half there at least. You know, maybe 15 wings prior to the show.
You try and cut your wing consumption in half, and then you go.
I'm black, bro. We don't.
Exactly.
Wings don't make us lethargic. You know, that's a whole different
only 30.
Thing. I don't know what your problem is.
Lightweight.
If that one didn't make you white enough, I'm looking at you, and we'll talk a little bit about your book, obviously. That should be an interesting thing. I'm curious about that because, like Fred, I love to read. What is it? Until all the dragons are dead. That's his book, Slade Him. But from your bio, the first thing that jumped out, obviously, and jumps out to most people, is you have wrestled a cheetah. Not even that important. Not even that interesting to me. Whoop-de-darn-do. But beating up a midget?
Oh, I jacked him up.
And to brag about it, there must be a story.
Okay, well, no, and I don't want to sound like I'm bragging about, like, nobody goes.
Yeah, it sounded like.
Okay, but nobody goes out and tries to get in 3/4 of a fight. Like, it wasn't a thing. But this little half of some bitch started, and it's.
Yeah, it's not funny.
There may have been some alcohol involved.
Boy, AJ needs to be here for this one. He'd get cut off the air again.
Has he moved out of the midget class? Is he still fighting?
AJ is banned from discussing
people, it's
right?
Not him. I'm the one who's banned.
Oh, that's why you're silent all of a sudden.
No, I have to call them little people. Actually, it doesn't matter anymore, but... that used to be AJ's nickname, and then somebody, the Little People of America, started a letter campaign against me for calling him that.
Oh, you know, I don't. I've heard so many variations.
See, I wouldn't use that word. I was reading directly from the bio, so it's a requirement. I have to quote somebody.
There was a moment mid fight where. I know it sounds.
I know what you did.
Dude, like, you have to understand the amount of like how difficult. Of a process that, like, because I got him in a leg lock at one point. I know that doesn't sound that impressive. Unless, have you ever tried to find a knee on one of those stubby little legs? Like, it is. And I had the knee and the ankle. And then my buddy Sam Demarest,
all
who's another whiskey
hand.
Brother, can vouch for that. He was there with me. And there was a point where the bouncers had me and I was being held back. And then Sam came out of nowhere. And this is not an exaggeration. He hit him so hard. He might have stretched him out for a minute. Like, there may have been a moment in midair where he was not a midget. I don't know the legal limit. We didn't lay him across the top of a cooler.
4 foot 9.
Is that what it is? Yeah. I don't know. We didn't have a cooler like a trout or a redfish. But he stretched his tail out. That's a person. Okay? That is a person for the most part.
Fighting this little person?
I was in a bar and it was 2 a.m. Picture 2 a.m. And we've had some drinks and we're playing this punching game. That they have in the bars, right? Like, you put the little dollar in and the bag comes down. Mm-hmm. And I punch it. And from behind me, I just hear this voice go, you hit like a... And he just yells it. And I turn around and nobody's there. And then he yells it again. And then that's when I was like, you know what, man? I lunged at it. And here was the cool part, right? After it was... Because I admire brazenness. I admire... attitude. I admire it when you think you are better than you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I yelled at him at one point and I go, why would you think you have a fight or why would you think you have a chance in a fight against like a grown up? Right. And then he goes, I'm in the UFC. Like, he says this with a straight, right. He tells me, I wouldn't have just done this to a person like a regular midget. This was, he said he was like a special midget.
Fight.
Yes, he's in the UFC. But he said, he goes, I'm in the UFC. And I don't miss a beat. I go, there's a university for fantasy creatures? And then And that's where all the trouble started.
Oh man.
That's how we got there. So I assume
he's not headed toward any championship in the UFC since you had him wrapped up in one finger.
It was, man, but the truth of the matter is, once that final lick came, like, I thought he was down. It would have knocked out most people. And he, honest to God, popped up like nothing even happened. Just, and then he clicked off into the night.
Wow.
And it was the most incredible thing I've ever seen.
You're not old enough. This is a little before your time, but I assume you're not familiar with the movie Penitentiary, right?
Penitentiary?
Yeah, you
know.
Yeah,
I saw Willow and Wizard of Oz. And we still talking about the same thing?
Same kind of story. Yeah.
Penitentiary?
Same kind of story. But in Penitentiary 3 specifically, if you were fighting Thud, you would be sitting here laughing as you're making all these little jokes about little people.
Is this on Netflix? Can I find this?
I'm going to go watch
Penitentiary.
Yeah,
does anyone
find,
know in it? I'm going to guess no.
Nah, probably not. No. They're black people. That's a whole different thing.
Okay, I know black people.
Oh, you do?
You can't.
Oh, no. What's up, man? I know them, too.
Probably more of them, but... I'm gonna watch Penitentiary. I got a plan, Fred.
Just Google the fights and look at the yeah. Midnight Thud.
What page down on the Google search Penitentiary fights I have to Google?
I bet you it'd be the first thing that pops up if you pull up Penitentiary fight.
That's
how classic these scenes are, I tell you.
And I've never heard of this.
Penitentiary 3. They used to
Penitentiary
3? Yeah, it was a series.
When did the last one come out?
Oh, they're probably late 80s.
I was probably old 80, enough 80, for 80. That.
Yeah, probably late 80s.
How old do you think I'm old?
What's her name? No, I can't even think of her name. Jane Kennedy? Her husband. She was so fine that when they got married, he changed his name to Kennedy.
Okay. Jane, yeah. I've got so much to learn. I feel this is way outside of my depth.
Like I said, you know, maybe that was before. I thought it was before your time, though.
Penitentiary 4.
Yeah. No, Jane Kennedy was on NFL Today, and she did the pregame shows and stuff. These are the precursor to what we have now, where now they don't really put women on those anymore, do they?
No.
They say it's all guys and former players. And
yeah, they're just on the sideline now. That's the only thing they let them do.
They force them on the sideline. They used, you know.
Let them do. Okay.
You get down there on the sideline and get pregnant while you're at it.
Look pretty. Just look pretty. Don't say nothing now.
Get pregnant while you're at it.
Is that part of the job description?
Apparently,
while you're down there?
I don't know.
Get a little NFL baby.
Is that or be sexually harassed by Joe Namath? I guess you could do that.
Yeah. We got all these lawsuits with the cheerleaders suing NFL teams. And I want to let all the cheerleaders know I'm with them in these.
Amen. I'm with y'all too.
Exactly.
If y'all need a shoulder to cry on, want to have a drink and talk about it.
When it comes to history, I'm going to be on the right side.
Amen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right behind them. Wait, I didn't mean it like that.
Hashtag me too. Yeah. I'm right there with you. Doing God's work, Jerome.
This is not going to go well at all.
You started this.
No, I didn't mean it like that.
Sheesh. I got your back for real.
Oh,
wait a minute. That's a different cheerleader, so.
Hold up. We're learning a lot about one another today, aren't we?
The Whiskey Brothers.
See, that's also from Penitentiary 4. I don't know.
Yeah, that was all up in all the penitentiaries there. Yeah.
I seem to have
you got to fast forward through those.
Seem to have a pretty good beat on the kind of movies you're into, Jerome.
That has happened to me before.
Whoa.
Watching a movie that I didn't know was going to turn into that, you know? I was like, wait a minute. That's not what I was watching here for the other hour and a half of the movie, you know?
Right. The wah-wah pedal on the guitar didn't tip you off. No point to that. You go, maybe this is a different kind of movie than I signed up for.
Hey, man, it happens. Sometimes you're watching, the next thing you know, two guys are together.
Fair.
Yeah.
Did you finish the movie?
Well, I've gone that far into it.
Plot,
at that point.
Plot committed.
Now, fortunately, it was like nearly the last scene or something.
We were just talking about that. What a great word, plot committed.
That nails it.
I'm stealing that.
I just wrote it. I've literally owned it for about 24 seconds.
Perfect.
So on plot here, we got Slade Ham here. What? Tell us about Until All the Dragons Are Dead.
The book is it's a compilation of stories from the road. I've been doing stand-up now for 18 years, and over the course of those years, now I've got, I don't even know how many countries, close to 56 continents. There are some incredible stories of just the stand-up life in general. I tell the story about the fight I almost got into with Dustin Diamond from Saved by the Bell. It's a fantastic story, but there's also there's a lot of stuff. I perform for the military a lot, so there's a really cool look at a couple of tours through Iraq, and there's, you know, Asia and a few other places.
Now Dustin Diamond, that's Screech, right?
Yeah.
Nobody knows who the hell Dustin Diamond is.
Screech.
Dustin Diamond sounded like a porn actor. Well, I guess Screech was that, right?
Basically, he put out his own. He's self-released.
Have you done that?
Self-published a porn tape?
Yeah, no. you're doing books and comedies. I figure.
Yeah, it's on. We're looking at the dailies from a couple of shoots we just did the other day, and I've got to get releases from the other parties because they didn't know I was taping. But then at the end of the day, it's gonna go quite well. You've got to diversify. The more things you're in. That's. I will not bite on that play on words.
Are we talking about cheerleaders again?
We always got to come back to sports somehow, Fred.
Good job.
Well, tell people how you can get the book. And I'm also just a little teaser. We're going to work with Slate on an audio version of it.
Which
will be available, which I'm excited about.
Oh, that should be fun.
And we're going to be doing a lot of stuff with all the Whiskey Brothers here in the next few months with the part of our audio publishing business, which I'm really excited
about.
I'm
incredibly stoked. And that seems to be the biggest question is, when is the audiobook coming out? You can get the Kindle version. You can get the paperback version. They're obviously on Amazon.com. You can go to your local bookstore and ask for it there. If you order them through Slateham.com, they come signed. They're a little bit slower, but I can do that. And then the audiobook forthcoming.
Yeah. Well, that's going to happen soon.
You have trouble signing your autograph, they're slower.
It's one of those things. They're slower today. I've been out here signing books for topless women for 45 minutes. I got a little carpal tunnel, and I'm gonna take it.
I was not gonna go
your
there.
Your face said everything. You thought it on the outside,
and every pervert out there was thinking it.
So. Yeah, no, they take a little. Sometimes I'm on the road, and I have to wait a week before I get back, and then I'll just do them all in one fell swoop.
Cool. Is book sales going well?
Incredibly well. It was charting on Amazon for a while, and it's always a weird thing when something you make does well.
That is cool.
You start to see the comments and the reactions, and I couldn't be more proud of it. It's been, like I said, it's probably 18 years worth of stories crammed into a book.
I'm not familiar with your stand-up act and how it's matured or changed over the years, but do you find people are really, really into the stories away from, you know, backstage stories, and as much as you've been into it?
I think the stand-up comedy world is fascinating to people. I think it is. The public speaking is the biggest fear above death. There are more people afraid of what I do for a living than there are people afraid of death, according to the stats. So I think when you do that for a living, and I think that radio is very similar. I think that those of us that perform in the public light, the public wants to know what makes you tick, what's going on back there, what happens where we go to be entertained. They want to know everything, whether it's behind the scenes photos from a movie shoot or from a stand up comedy perspective or from any of the things we do. I think people just are fascinated by that. So I try to answer some of those questions in the book.
What is it? Is it HBO or Showtime that has the show now? That's all about comedy and backstage or at a comedy club in the 70s.
And I haven't watched it yet. That's why I don't know the name. I was just talking about this with somebody the other day.
I caught a few minutes of it once a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, man, I may need to go back and watch it from the beginning.
It
seemed pretty cool, though.
It's hard for me to really, watching anything stand-up related for me, it's so hard to do.
Really? Even other performers too?
Yeah, I don't watch a lot of comedy. I watched all of Dave Chappelle's specials that recently came out, and I watched Chris Rock, Chris Rock's Tambourine. And some of those masters I try to watch, but the rest of me, I'm so honest to God terrified of what I call the bleed, that I'm going to look up 6 months from now and have some brilliant idea.
And you stole her.
I wouldn't say stole, but like the
So you'd rather just steal their bits without watching.
Yeah, I just like to take them flat out. I email people and I go, what was your favorite bit from the last Bill Burr special? And then I just do that. And then I can pass a lie detector test that says I never watched the special. And that's really where the devil is.
Excellent. Yeah.
But that's why I, for the most part, don't listen to other talk shows in the city, because I don't want to get on a topic. I want whatever take I have on that topic to be mine.
To be fresh. Yeah. And if it happens to be parallel thinking with someone else, then we'll certainly deal with it. But I don't ever want that to just be.
It has to be such a challenge, too, because, I mean, even among the great ones, not a lot, but there are times where you say, hey, I know that bit. I've heard it from someone else, and it's the exact same topic, and obviously they have their own flavor or taste to it. And you know they didn't steal it.
Of course not.
But it's the same story.
Well, I thought if you watch Chris Rock's Tambourine in particular, he opens with this gun control bit. And I thought some of the – I almost never call Chris Rock derivative, but certainly there were some lines that you would – heard or seen memed or that had kind of crept out into the public domain. And make no mistake, Chris Rock wrote every single second of that. The fact that there may have been some, I won't say layups, but a little easier to get to punches sprinkled throughout the way, it's still wrapped up in this huge thing and has a Chris Rock bow on it. So you do see a little bit of that. I try to avoid it where possible. Hopefully, you know, when I walk on stage, you're getting 100% me.
Cool.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to bring in the other Whiskey Brothers.
Trouble.
Here. Yeah, this should be interesting. Yeah, this is, realistically, this is the only way I can get my wife to listen to the show is to have you two guys on now. It's like Slade's her favorite. Well, Sam, she hadn't met Sam until the other night, but she's a big fan of his, right? It has been for a long time, and she'd had a few, and went up to give him a hug. I love you, Slade.
She went right past me. And Sam was like, I love you too. Hi, I'm Sam.
It was a 50-50 shot, right? You know?
She's fantastic. If you're listening, hello.
Quick break. We'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. No, A.J., he'll be back on Monday. Jerome Solomon filling in. And the best thing about having all of the Whiskey Brothers in is that it gets me out of the shot for the TV thing. It's just you guys.
Tricky. It's a wide lens, but not that wide.
Not that wide, no. Oh, of course, now John goes and changes it.
That's better.
Great.
That's better.
So Rob Muggle and Sam Damaris join us.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hi, everyone. How you going? How's it doing? I can't talk.
Did y'all just discuss Slade's dragon book? Is that what I meant?
Yeah.
Is that where he fights?
You can't call it a dragon book.
Yeah, you think fight elves or something? Is that what? I haven't read it. I haven't looked at it yet. It looks good, though. It looks good.
Thank you, Rob. It's one of my best friends in the world.
Yeah, it's in English,
I wrote a Dungeons & Dragons book.
I liked it better when it was called Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
This is why we didn't have them on with Mira.
No, it's a great read. It's a page-turner. It really is.
And you're just turning the pages without looking at the words. Right?
I mean, it looks. I'm a speed reader. Is my name in here anywhere?
If it's not the Bible, Rob hasn't read it. Yeah.
Am I in this anywhere? And I'm not going to read it.
Yes.
I am in it? Am I in it? Okay.
The night we stole the 8-foot-tall banana from the bar in Austin.
The one show I didn't do.
Yeah. That was a whole different. Yeah, we went Ocean's 11. On this little bar in Austin. And we went in one night after a show at Cap City, and they had this, it was like an 8-foot-tall dreadlocked stuffed banana, and it was the bar mascot. And the minute we walked in, instantly, I just looked over, I go, that's leaving with us. Y'all know this. And we had to get so many of these Austin hippie kids drunk. It was hilarious. Like, come on, I'm buying shots. And then I'd take them in and get them like rot gut bar whiskey. And they would all make faces because all they've been drinking is cucumber martinis because they're Austin hippies. And they couldn't handle the whiskey, but while they were all halfway throwing up, we grabbed their banana and we made it. So, yeah, you're in there.
Great.
Were y'all running down the street carrying an 8-foot banana?
Yeah.
Oh, you just walked out with it.
I think we returned it the next day, didn't we?
We did. Because you can't brag about stealing something. The alternative was we were going to have to take it back like the Thomas Crown Affair and paint it like a golden tea machine and stick it in the corner and then turn the sprinklers on and have it turn back into the banana. But we didn't do that.
Yeah.
So tell me about, I know you guys travel a lot. Give me some good travel stories. Oh, man. Was that softball enough?
Yeah, right?
Oh, man.
What if we have any of those?
So, Slade and I, we've gone all over the world doing stuff with the military, right? And we could tell you stories from Kosovo and Romania or whatever. But one of the weirdest ones actually happened just outside of Shreveport, Louisiana. We're on our way to a base in Shreveport. We're in Nacogdoches. This cop gets behind me. And when the cops get behind me, I do this thing where I like to pull my foot off the gas. And I'm eventually going so slow that I'm not even worth the ticket. He's just so frustrated. He just doesn't want to see me anymore. So he gets over to the left lane, pulls up next to me, looks inside, looks right at my face, and then drops back and pulls me over. And Slade looks at me and goes, "Hey, man, he's profiled you. He can't do that." And I was like, "Just be white. Nothing will happen to you."
It's Nacogdoches. I mean, like, this. Yeah. So the cop has us. We're sitting there, and the cop does that divide and conquer move where he leaves me in the passenger seat, and then he takes Sam to the back of the car.
Yeah, first word out of his mouth is "step out of the car." I'm like, no license, registration. I got it in my hand. Yeah.
Dude. So he's got Sam back there. You're back there, and I'm watching all of this transpire in the rearview mirror with my window down, and I'm listening, and I'm giggling a little bit
because he gets me out of the car, and the first thing he says, "Where are you headed to in such a hurry?" And if I'm gonna do the gig, I'm gonna use it. I looked right at his face and was like, "We're on our way to an Air Force base to do a show for the United States Armed Forces." Yeah, me and my buddy, we've been to like 17 different countries, all doing shows where you can hear the Star Spangled Banner playing behind me. Like,
I got my hand on my heart, and I'm
laying it so thick. They're like, "We don't even do it for the money. We do it for the love, just to something to give back." Wait, while I'm sitting here counting how I'm gonna spend this check, and I'm just looking at this cop in his face, just like, "If you write this ticket, there's a special place in hell." You know what I mean?
But I'm listening to all of this, right? I know what's going on. And the cop goes, "All right, well, wait, I see him tell Sam to hold." And then he comes back up to my window and he goes, So, just a couple quick questions. Where are you guys headed?" And I go, "We're going to see his uncle about a business deal in Texarkana."
"Get on the ground. I need to look around the car." And I'm like, I had it. Could you not be a comedian for one day, you idiot? And a cop tells Slade to step out of the car. And when Slade does, he has our orders that they gave us that give us base access. And so he shows it to the cop. He goes, "Hey, man, he told you we were comedians. We were just having fun with you." And the cop was like, "Man, that's not cool."
And I go, "Neither is racism, dude." And we just...
Yeah, he goes, "Neither is racism, but I'm not judging you."
He's,
and I'm
just
like,
trying to get your ass whooped, right?
Yeah, I'm like, "Hey, dude, I got a kid. Don't give me a shot."
I was like, "She's young. She barely knows you. It's okay."
Slade's over here. "We shall overcome."
I'm like, "You already overcame. It's my turn." Like, I was trying to get out this ticket. Now, to the cops.
"Hey, Mississippi Burning. I just want to get to the gig."
He did not write us up. He did not. He let us go with a warning. And because I'm pretty sure when it's like, one, we're actually on our way to do a show for the military. Mm-hmm. And two, Slade looked at him and was like, "We know what you did." So it was one of those like, "Yeah, I probably shouldn't write this one."
I won't be telling this story tonight at the first responders show at the Improv. Yeah. I love you guys.
Yeah. I've got a great story where I dropped Sam off at a police station one time.
with a note saying, "You can raise him better than I can."
Yeah.
"Give him a good life."
You just left on the front porch like Benjamin Button.
Good
put
time.
Me in a basket and sent me up river.
You can find stories like that and how to kill all the dwarves of Madagascar by Slade Ham. It's available at finer bookstores.
The Flaming Sword of Slade Ham.
Yeah. Until all the dragoons. Yeah.
And Fred, you guys, you know, there comes a point where you've been friends with a dude so long that you've said every nice thing you can possibly say. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, am I proud of my buddy for publishing a book? Yes. Will I ever say that again after today? No. I don't
seem to feel this pride that you claim. Even as you say that, it didn't even sound anywhere near legitimate.
If I
didn't like him, I could destroy this book. This is out of love and compassion. So you can find Get All the Demons at some of your finer libraries around the country. Don't spend a dime on this guy's book.
Now, this is how y'all treated him after it came out. When he first said he was writing it, I assumed that y'all pretty much gave the same. Oh, he had to sneak it out on him?
Come on, man. When you look on Amazon and you see used and new from $7.99, that's me. So, I just was like, I don't even care that I'm losing money. I just want him to know that I can sell your book for half as much. Like a car. The second I drove it off the lot,
if you
worthless.
Want a copy of this, I've got them for $3.99. You can go to Rob Mungle.
Go to robmungle.com and let me know how that realtor's doing.
Your book is ranked on Amazon because your boys are selling it back and forth to each other, right?
I bought 20 copies. And I'm selling them, It's like a pyramid scheme.
Little known number. It only costs about $200,000 to have a bestseller.
Wintertime, it's going to keep my apartment warm. I don't have to run
this
my heater.
This is all a massive Ponzi scheme to sell books. There's only one. This is the only copy.
Why it's not signed yet, Fred?
We just sell it to 16 different people. They hold on to it for a week. And
then
we send a dog into it's like
about
a gypsy
it.
Dog.
Oh, the one that eats your jewelry and then runs back to the village?
Right, That's what they... So you can get a copy of Gypsy Dog by Slade Ham, available at truck stops around the country for $14.95.
We do this.
Do you regret bringing this on yet?
Yeah. So how about them Astros? Those guys have any knees left in the catching pool? What happened? Follow sports.
They'll be fine. Yeah. We didn't bring you here for sports. One of these days, I'll bring you here to talk horse racing when people care about it.
Oh, yeah. The
5 weeks out of the year that people care.
Yeah.
But I do have a little bit of a bone to pick with you because I don't really pay attention to what's on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So my wife has to tell me when somebody's put something up on Facebook. And you posted something about sports radio and how much it must suck at this time. On the same day you're coming on my show.
This was 2 days ago. In my defense, this is what happens. You get guys like us because I said they should shut down every sports radio station between middle of June and middle of July. There's nothing to talk about. Because I was like, are we going to break down Astros Royals for 6 hours? I mean, but God bless you. You guys do it. I'm a fan. But I don't know how you do it. You
don't talk a lot of sports.
Yeah, you just bring guys like, see, this is us. We're here. No football. There's no basketball. We go to LeBron is a mercenary. Okay, there's 30 seconds. What are we going to do for 23 more hours?
Wrap it up.
Shut it down.
No, I don't do Facebook at all, hardly. I'm on it just because I have to be, but I never go there. Today, in fact, and this is not going to be funny, but I'm sure y'all will make fun of it somehow.
Give the story.
I got a notice popped up on my screen, said, somebody's having a birthday and three of your friends or whatever. So I clicked it just for the hell of it. Never do it. One of them passed away a few months ago.
Oh, no.
I clicked on it, this page anyway. And there's a list of people like, hey, happy birthday. How's work? What's going on the job? See, I told y'all that's not funny.
It is funny, though.
It is. Because no one cares. Like, I wish happy. I used to, every day, I made it a point to, if I saw your name was in that birthday list, I made it a point to send things out. And just every single one of those people, I was like, it's just my thing. When I wake up, when I log into Facebook, I do it. And then one day I just started looking. I was like, I don't know how I know you. I don't know if you're alive. I don't know if you owe me money.
Actually a real thing because there's a lot of what they call zombie accounts of people that passed away, but they didn't leave their passwords or anything.
They
call them zombie accounts because they still exist on Facebook, but no one has a way to delete the account. And people will call their relatives say, hey, this person died. Is there anything? It's like, no, we can't do anything because you have to have it.
Facebook has now the ability to memorialize an account. But I look at some of my friends and I'm like, now I'm conscious of it. Like the same way I won't leave anything in my Google search history just in case I get in a wreck on the way home and that's the last thing. You know what I mean? I don't want you to know that was the last thing I searched for. Yeah. On the way home, I'm kind of that way about Facebook. Like, I'm like, man, you're stuck with whatever your cover photo is and your profile photo. And I know you were hammered last night and thought, French kiss and the swordfish at the Italian fish market was going to be. But that's you forever if Facebook memorializes that.
My cover photo is the typewriter that says all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy over and over again.
from The Shining, and that will be there. And when I die, yeah, I totally want that there. Yeah. It's been there for like 5 years, and every time I think of changing it, I go and I look at it, and I'm like, no, that's me.
So clearly your Google search history is that the equivalent of wear clean underwear now?
Yes, 1,000%. That I'm way more worried about my search history.
Yeah, mine actually says how to clean underwear when you go to Google. That and what's the latest book from Slade Ham? Where can I find
the
when
father
all the
of
dragons,
dragons
are zombified? Available.
What was that part
at
of it?
Finer grocery stores everywhere.
Dragons in there because dragons are hot these days. Is that
no? It's the
and
story.
It's got like was that Peter Pan that's fighting the dragon?
Stop, Rob. It's
that's from a great story, by the way. I like how you just took. You just said, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to have Peter Pan fight a dragon, and that's six chapters right there. It's like sports radio in July.
Funny story.
Whatever you want.
I just put a different cover on Peter Pan.
Well, Peter Pan was a 3-1
underdog in that fight. Now available at grocery stores and garage sales around the world.
I heard that you tried to make it sports related for just a second. And Rob was like, no, it's July, man.
What's the best you got? The U.S. Open? Tennis? What? Wimbledon? Who cares?
Tom Brady does look like Peter Pan, though.
His knees are. They're 14-year-old knees, man.
Did you see the dude sticking his hands down his pants and smelling it at Wimbledon? Dude, listen.
Whatever Prince Charles wants to
Google. Not now. I won't Google it, but because we're leaving here in a minute. But
and you don't want it in your search history.
I don't want it in my search
history. Pants down in Wimbledon.
I've got it. Somebody just sent it to me earlier. There's a dude sitting on the bench, and he just keeps. He doesn't think anybody's watching. Like there aren't cameras at Wimbledon, and he's just
done with
casually. Slowly, like just and then doing like a sweat check. I don't know what it is. It's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. And he looks proud of himself, and it looks like he's sitting next to his brother who doesn't seem to care.
but did it stink?
He makes a face.
Harry and what's the name? I don't know. What's the other one's name? I don't follow the royal family.
Oh, Matilda. I don't know either.
McKay. I don't know.
That's where we want to go. Down the road to somewhere we don't know any of the people. Him too?
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh.
Prince Mark and Harry, they're in chapter 14 of this new tome by Slade Ham. When all the winters have come and gone with Peter Pan on the cover. It's a great read.
That is some nice art,
though.
You've
done more promo for that book than I'm sure Slade did in his entire own.
You know what? I know how to sell. I'm a salesman. I don't know how to upsell.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can't sell myself, but this, 200-page, Slade Ham opus.
I can see you doing a late night infomercial going, get Roxy clean or slap chump.
All you kids out there in video land. This is the new book.
It's with a foreword by Christopher Titus, who also will vouch for it.
Yeah.
So now, is this what we get on Whiskey Brothers podcast?
No, we're way more controlled than that. We would never do this on a real show. No. I did it just to see Brett.
That's going, you guys. I did.
No, we do a podcast that is substantially more adult than this conversation and also way less worried about, like, we pull no punches at all. And this is the tame version of us. But praisewhiskey.com, at praisewhiskey on everything else. But if you get a chance, Google the Whiskey Brothers.
By the way, that was Germany's soccer team's coach that was not at Wimbledon where the guy did the thing in the hand. Somebody on Twitter just lit you up, fool.
Oh, well, then yell at me. I'm sorry. It looked like it was in a bullpen at a...
Look, I'm supposed to be the one who says all the white dudes look alike, not you.
All right, guys. Appreciate you coming in. We got to go to break here.
Yeah, great to be. Great to have us. Thanks.
Thanks for letting us crash.
We'll do it again. And check them out, man. All three of these guys. Very, very funny individually and obviously together. Worth checking out the podcast. Going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.